Good evening, everyone. We're going to take a little break just this evening from our study in 1 John. I wanted to take a look at a particular study that I did 5 years ago on prayer and fasting. And so we're going to look at the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. Got the account here. Actually, we'll read a few more verses than that. Let's see here. 9 through 14. We've got the account of the Pharisee, who is so religious, so upright in his own eyes. And so we're going to look at this account here and see what we can glean from it. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll read Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. I'll read if you'd follow along. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the one a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We look at the matter of prayer and fasting. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to have an appreciation for it, to know when it's the right time and Lord, the right means and the right spirit, Lord, that we would not do it for show, that we would not do it for the praise of men, but Lord, to connect with you about serious matters. We ask that you would speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. From the Way of Life Encyclopedia, the definition is of a fast is a biblical fast is to focus one's attention wholly toward God, abstaining from lawful pleasantries to the end of resolving certain extraordinary spiritual needs. So, when to fast? Well, in the Bible times, there were times when fasting was done as a commemorative thing. In our text here that we just read, in Luke 18, this man says, twice a week I fast. That seems pretty hardcore. pretty dedicated, doesn't it? But I'm going to read you something here of interest. This comes from the preacher, pastor, and commentator John Gill. And he writes, now the 2 days in the week on which they fasted were Monday and Thursday, the second and fifth day, on which the days the law of Moses and the book of Esther were read by the order of Ezra. And fasts for the congregation were appointed on those days, and so a private person or a single man, or as in this instance, took upon him or chose to fast on the same time. The reason of this is that by some said to be because Moses went up to the Mount Sinai on a Thursday and came down on a Monday. But though these men fasted so often, here's the key on this one, they took care not to hurt themselves, for they allowed themselves to eat in the night till the break of day. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's not really... Oh, sorry. That's not really fasting, is it? When you just basically alter the times in which you eat. That's not depriving your body to then change it up so that you're now eating at nighttime and not during the day. So sometimes when we would fast, well, we can follow our Lord Jesus and the example, right? Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. When he was led up into the wilderness to be tempted, what did he do? He fasted. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. That was a very long fast. I cannot imagine 40 days and 40 nights. We have others in Scripture that did it. Of course, Moses did it, 40 days, 40 nights. And something about that, I mean, a person can. I mean, people have gone on hunger strikes, and they've done past 40 days. But physically, a person can do that kind of a fast, but I do believe that God gives grace to the believer. When the believer is fasting for the right reasons, the right spirit, that he does give grace. And it's something I've experienced personally. So when we're being tempted, that's exactly what Jesus knew. He's going to be tempted of Satan. And so he was prepared for that temptation. Also, we see fasting when repenting of sin. Let's take a look in the Old Testament in Joel, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 12. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. So turn unto him. And he's speaking to a people that were in sin, rebellious. And he says, turn unto me with weeping, with fasting, and mourning. So there's an example of, you know, when repenting of sin. In a similar vain is, you know, as far as repenting of sin, was on the Day of Atonement. If you look back some chapters here into Jeremiah, some books I should say, Jeremiah 36, verse 6. Jeremiah 36, verse 6. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. So this fasting day was the Day of Atonement. Some believe that Paul in Acts 27, verse 9, when he spoke of the fast, that it was speaking of the fast associated with the Day of Atonement. I'll just read it for you, you don't have to turn there. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and he told them not to do it. So some think that's referring to that Day of Atonement. So we fast when being tempted, we fast when we are confessing sin to the Lord. I'm not saying every sin. I mean, a person might have come to realize that they've got grievous sin, and they say, I just need to. It's part of having that broken and contrite heart, right? Also, when seeking wisdom, I did a serious amount of prayer and fasting before we came here. Serious amount. I was starting to feel it quite physically. Because I was looking for God's direction. I wanted to know, is this where you'd have us? Let's take a look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So here, he's coming to the Lord. He's looking for wisdom. He's also seeking forgiveness for the sins of the people here as well. But, you know, when we're looking for direction, looking for wisdom, it's very appropriate to fast. Also, when beseeching the Lord for someone's life. Now, when we talk about beseeching the Lord for someone's life, it might be, perhaps it's someone's life is in the balance. Perhaps they've been involved in a bad accident, or they've got a bad diagnosis. Or it's their spiritual life, where you're saying, Lord, this person needs to come to salvation. And you're using that as a time of prayer and fasting. We think back to 2 Samuel chapter 12, where David fasted when his child, by Bathsheba, their first child, was dying. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. They were confused. But he explains, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore shall I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So notice there, and don't you know, it's very important to pay attention to the fact that David was yielded to the will of the Lord. He said, who can tell? Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me? He said, I'm just going to do my part. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to beseech God. I'm leaving it in God's hands. And the same applies for if we're fasting for someone that their life is in jeopardy. We don't fast to force God to do something. Instead, we fast and we beseech the Lord. If the Lord says, no, I have a better plan than your plan, I'm going to be glorified in my plan more than in your plan, then we have to go, okay, Lord, I trust you. Your way is always best. Your way is always perfect. We think of Esther, the book of Esther here, chapter 4, verse 16. Esther 4. And 16. Go gather together all the Jews. Now, of course, you know, it's Esther speaking here. That are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now that was a serious fast. I mean, it was no food, no water. For myself, when I fast, I will drink liquids. I will maybe have tea, or you know, maybe sometimes with a little bit of honey in it for a little bit of blood sugar regulation, and perhaps even sometimes coffee. And I know that sounds wrong, but I get those nasty headaches if I don't. But every person has to choose what, and some people just simply can't. They've got a diabetic problem, they've maybe borderline hypoglycemic, and for health reasons, they can't. And that is totally fine. And I've heard people talk about it and say, well, I know I can't leave out my meals, but I can certainly make them very plain meals and with little to them that is enjoyable. It's just enough to keep my blood sugars and check and in the right place and not a whole lot more. So, but here, this was a very, very strict fast. No food, no water, 3 days and three nights. It's not a whole lot beyond that, 4, 5, 6 days at the most, I think, where if you're without water, you've got you're looking at death. So we also see, and it's interesting, isn't it, how some of these cases, it's because there's something that's really scary, really painful. It's and then there's times when it's joyful. There's in the example well, actually, before we go there, since we're in the Old Testament, let's just hit Ezra. Ezra chapter 8. For protection and provision, Ezra chapter 8. Verses 21 through 23. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us. So there's some degree of wisdom, but also looking for protection. And for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king, a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon us, for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsook him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests and we'll stop right there. So we have when seeking God's protection and provision. Now jumping ahead, We jump into Acts chapter 14. Now again, this is more of a joyful occasion in the context of ordaining pastors. Acts chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. And when they had ordained them elders in every city and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed, and after they had passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and it carries on. So they fasted before they laid hands on these elder pastors. Okay. Also, we see that we do it when trying to bring down demonic strongholds. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. So, just to give you the context, Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. The other disciples are left in a group there, and everyone's coming to them. Where's your master? We've got sick people. We've got people with demons that need to be cast out. Well, he's gone. He's not here right now. Well, can you help us? We can give it a shot. And so here we see in verse 14, and when there came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I said unto you, if ye have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Notice verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And there are certain things in life that we're going to come up against that are not going to go out except for by prayer and fasting. And again, every person with the body that God's given them would have to determine how they would fast. So when bringing down demonic strongholds. Also, fasting needs to be directed to God. Let's take a look at Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah 7, verses 4 and 5. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, When ye fast and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 days, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? So these two feasts were not commanded in Scripture, but were set times that were set aside by the Jews themselves to fast. And that's fine as long as the fast is directed to the Lord. And it's not just something to make oneself look good in the eyes of man. I'm not sure if this is the case, but I've read that the reasons behind these two fasts was in commemoration with two events that happened in the southern kingdom. In the fifth month, Nebuchadnezzar burned the temple. In the seventh month, it was the commemoration of the murder of Gedaliah that we read about in Jeremiah 41. And so that these were commemorative events. Not happy occasions, but more commemorating what had happened. Now, something to understand is as far as what fasting is not. Fasting is not a means to salvation. In our text in Matthew that we read there about the Pharisee, the Lord said, okay, this man says he fasts, and he does all this. He claims that he gives tithes and alms and all this other stuff. And then he points out the publican who's repentant. And he points out, he says, which one of those went down to his house? Sorry, I said Matthew, but our text was in Luke chapter 18. So Jesus asked the question. He says, he makes a statement. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. All these different things that he was doing didn't justify him. Fasting is not a means to salvation. Also, it's not intended to be an outward sign of godliness. The Scripture talks about how, you know, we're not to make ourselves look like we're fasting for the praise of others. So it's not to be a sign of outward godliness. It's also not something intended strictly for our health. Now, I say that on the same token, if your doctor was to say to you or someone was to recommend to you, you should have a fast for this amount of time and you were to have a fast, that's totally acceptable. And if you were to say, well, I'm going to fast and maybe at the same time I'll reap some health benefits, that's fine too. Like a detox, well, that's fine too. But the primary purpose is to beseech God. And that has to be the focus. If we're focused on ourselves and jumping on the scale every 30 minutes, or you know, we're trying to do it for our own self, then that's the wrong reason. If it's intended to be a spiritual fast, some people do. That's part of their dieting plan, is they'll do that in a physical way. But don't, if you're doing it in a physical way, don't expect the spiritual results. It needs to be directed at God. Now, something that's important, a caveat to this, and we've kind of already touched on that, we read that passage in Samuel, is that fasting does not guarantee that prayers will be answered the way we want them to be answered. David so wanted his child to return to health. He wanted the life of his child to be spared. And God said, no. Nope. And so a person might get the idea that when they're fasting, that their prayers will be answered the way they want it to. They might have the impression that they're kind of forcing God's hand, that they're backing God into a corner. That's not true. We don't force God. You think about the Israelites. They wanted to have meat. And we're told in Psalms that God finally gave them meat, so much that it was kind of coming out of their nostrils. And he gave them fatness of body, but leanness of soul. Because they had kept on murmuring. If instead they had just prayed and said, Lord, you promised to protect us, to lead us, to provide for us. Would you see fit to provide us some meat? The Lord would have said, here you go. I shouldn't say that's what he would have done. That's very likely what he would have chosen to do. I don't want to speak for him. But in the case of where they hounded him, he said, fine, have it. And you're not going to enjoy it in the end. And so we don't force God's hand. We need to be praying within the will of God, resigned to seeing his will accomplished, not our own. Now we think about how the way in which we fast, how to fast. Well, as you can imagine, one of the important things here is that it needs to be done genuinely. Let's take a look into the Old Testament, into Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. You have to be genuine about it. We're going to read Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 7. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes upon him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? These people were not being genuine. They did not have a love for others. They were trying to keep the letter of the law, as you see in the beginning of this. Oh, we want to know your ordinances. Oh, but we're going to hurt others. We're going to put burdens on people that are inappropriate. We're going to put bands of them. And God says, no, it's more important to do all these other things, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. And he goes on. That's a genuine fast. God doesn't listen to hypocritical prayers, hypocritical fasts. So if we're going to actually fast and restrict our food, we ought to be genuine in the other areas of our life. And you see how that is more important than even the fasting itself. The Lord says, this is what I consider a fast. So if a person physically cannot fast, then they ought to look through this and say, well, what can I do there? Is it not deal thy bread to the hungry? To bring the poor out of them that are cast out of the house? There's these different things that we can do that the Lord will see. Jeremiah chapter 14, please. Jeremiah 14, verses 10 through 12. Jeremiah 14, 10 through 12. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the God doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then saith the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Oh, they were keeping the fast. Or sorry, they're keeping the sacrifices. And they're fasting. They were crying out to God. But their heart was far from him. And he said, no. With the sin that they have on their hands, no, I will not listen to that fast. I will not listen to that prayer. Okay? Also, as we kind of touched on earlier, and take a look at Matthew now, Matthew chapter 6, that it's not meant to make us look good. So, to be as unobserved as possible, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. So they go around with those long faces, and everyone's like, oh, they're fasting. I know what that look means. They're fasting. And so it's making them look godly. And then Jesus says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And you might look at that and say, why would God reward that? And what God is saying there, he says, their reward is temporal. They've got no spiritual reward. It was here, now, it was a flash in the pan. It was that person that went, oh my, how godly. That was their reward. A person could even take it a step further and say, because we know that we're rewarded for good, and wicked doers are rewarded for evil by being punished. And you could look at it even that way, where they will have their reward. It's going to be punishment because it's hypocritical. Okay, verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. So do the normal things. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So as unobserved as possible. Now, I'm going to tell you my belief on this is that a person is not to masquerade around and carry a flag and say, I'm fasting and, you know, this is how good I am. But at the same time, I think it's good. I think it's good to tell folks. Like, you know, for instance, if someone comes to you and they say, I've got this big problem, and if you were to tell them and say, you know what, I'm going to do some prayer, I'm going to do some fasting for that situation, it lets them know that you take it seriously. It's the intent is not to lift ourselves up, make ourselves look good, but it's to show them, hey, I'm with you in this. I care for you in this situation. And I'm going to be praying, I'm going to be fasting, whatever it is, wisdom, protection, intervention, whatever. And you might do with others and say, you know what? I'm going to be fasting, and I've done this many times. I do it with my dad. I'll tell him, you know, I'm fasting on this day for this situation. If you've of a mind and you're physically able to, and you want to join me, you know, I'd love the company, even 45 minutes away. But you know, to be able to join together in fasting and prayer. Not again, not to make ourselves look good, but to but to join, to gather. Sometimes it's of a practical nature. You know, sometimes there's awkward situations where you've invited someone over to your house for a meal, and then the Lord just laid upon your heart, this is the day for you to fast. And you're like, okay, I'm going to reappear, or I will just sit there and sip some water or whatever it might be. And you might have to explain, I'm just fasting today. And it's, again, the intent is not to glorify ourselves. It's of a practical nature. And of course, when you've got your own families, you know, after a while, they're going to go, well, how come mom or how come dad is, you know, how come they're not eating? Well, you know, I'm fasting. That's fine. Just leave it at that, you know. But as a general rule, as unobserved as possible, not for the praise and glory of others. And we read in one of the accounts there, I believe it was Jeremiah, where he speaks of, you're doing it for yourself. You're still doing your labors. You're still having your pleasures. Now the labors, I mean, you can't necessarily take off a week of work or a couple days of work or a day of work, whatever, to fast. But you could, if you're physically able to do your job. I know when I was working in EMS, it, part of the job was quite physical, and I couldn't fast that long, and I might really try hard and keep a granola bar in my pocket, just in case, because I didn't want to put others at risk. But the intent is that we're focused on the Lord, and I know in my own life there's been times where I've fasted, and at the end of it I've said, I had a good fast in the sense that I restricted my food or whatever. But at the same time, I didn't spend that amount of time in prayer. It's to be coupled with prayer, joined together with prayer. And so, you know, I'd encourage if you're doing that to spend time, you know, listening to your audio Bible or, you know, doing things, and of course in prayer as well. But just try to focus as much of that day in towards spiritual things. You know, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. No pleasant bread. And that's sometimes what it might be for a person, if they can't, for health reasons, do it. You know, that they might just say, I'm going to restrict those nice things, like I said earlier. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, he speaks in 1 Corinthians 7:5, defraud not the other, except to be with consent for a time, that may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So there in the marriage relationship, I don't think that necessarily is a command, but it's one of those things that a person could do for that time to really dedicate their time to the Lord. Okay, just a couple. I'll read you a couple of psalms here. So in Psalms chapter 35:13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. Psalm 69:10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. And Psalms 109:24. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I can attest to that. I've known the feeling of knees being weak. Now, something that recently came to my mind was, I know we are biological creatures, and we often don't do well when we don't have food, do we? People at my workplace, they talk about getting hangry. You heard that term before? Angry, hungry, hangry. And when a person fasts, a person has to be very careful that they are not becoming snippy, they're not becoming angry. I know I've experienced it myself where it's been like, well, I'm going to fast. Like, you know, why can't the kids be quiet? Or, you know, I'm doing this, and it's like, no, wait a second. I think that part of this is, how much control do I have over my emotions? when I am chastening my soul with fasting, how much control do I have? Can I say, yes, body, you want food, and you feel off, but I can still be cheerful, but I can still have a good attitude towards those around me? I think that's a very important thing to consider, because our bodies do speak quite harshly sometimes to us when we're not feeding it right, and it sometimes translates into the words we use and in how we react. Okay, we'll close with that thought there and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, every one of us at different times in our life, we have situations that come up and we need to pray and we need to fast, and Lord, maybe it will be for us, maybe it will be for someone else. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a true understanding of what it means to fast, and that we would that we would use fasting for the right reasons, that we would approach it with the right method for our own self, Lord, that we would not suffer a physical impairment because of it, but that we would find ways to show you that we are serious about a matter and that we would spend time in prayer. And Lord, that we would not be hypocrites, sinning in other areas of our life while trying to get your attention by fasting. Lord, help us to be honest and act with integrity. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us. We go into prayer here in a little while, that you'd help us to draw close to you and bring the requests before you that we need to bring before your throne. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.